lift their arms and lift their and the fucking or excuse my language, the rocker arms and the tie rod or not tie rods but the I'm having a brain freeze. It was like the rods and the part that was on top of the rod, a lifter or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it started knocking on my car and it overheated. But anyway, this guy come up to me and he said, God said to help you. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And he said, you're having problems to get your vehicle. I said, okay. 2 weeks later, he come back. He sold his Harley and he took me down to a small town called Benton, Illinois. And came in the van, title and everything. He said, God told
nice,
me to do
nice.
This.
So are you on your own? You're not married or anything?
No, I'm on my own right now.
Oh, okay. So you're going to go down there and you're going to get a job and...
And then start preaching. That's usually what I do when I boondock. I'll find a place and I'll pray about it and then I'll find a job so I can support myself. And then I'll go around and preach the gospel.
Good for you. Good for you that you support yourself. We should do that, definitely. Nice.
And
nice.
God always provides, you know.
Yeah.
Different jobs and stuff like that. You
yeah,
know?
Amen. But, amen. But, yeah, I was just here street preaching at that event down there.
What event?
The Twain Days or whatever it's called.
Oh, okay.
Preached there, and then we preached at a bull riding event in Brookfield before that. And so we just travel the country, and I'm retired, but I support myself. Yep. And we just go out in the streets. You can see I got a lot of teachings on my website. I have a lot of street preaching videos. My wife, Sister Debbie, has a sister's blog where she encourages ladies. And so we just go out into the culture and we remind people in so-called Christian America.
Yeah, there ain't Christianity.
Yeah, it's pagan Christianity. And yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. We stand against the Sunday church places because they teach so many false ways and corruption. Yeah. And we call people to the biblical Savior through his death, burial, and resurrection. And everybody says, well, I believe in Jesus, but yeah, good for you. But they stop there, and when you call them to obey him and love him and follow him, they go, legalist.
No, in the church buildings, I don't go there anymore. All it is entertainment.
Yeah, good for you.
There ain't no conviction. There's no, I don't believe that God's moving into too many of them church buildings.
No, he's not. Yeah, I don't know.
Not in America, anyway.
I don't know one church building in America that I would tell somebody, go there, that's the people of God. I see a bunch of compromise. What I see is scattered saints all over the world.
Yep. And they're struggling. They want the word of God, just the milk of it even, and they can't get it. They can't get the milk.
Yeah, and I tell them, flee and run from that place. We'll encourage you, get in the word of God and ask the Father for truth and grow up in that. So the gospel's on my card, and I'm glad that you appreciate it. That's usually about 90% of my battle is trying to convince people, get rid of Sunday church. And most people that do,
it's one of the biggest idolatry days in the country.
It is. Because, I mean, look, you got Christmas and Easter. These are pagan holidays. Yep. You know, and you got all, like you said, the entertainment. And you got one guy standing behind a wooden box preaching. Well, I ask people in the streets, do you know what the word preach means? They tell me, you shouldn't be doing this. I said, really? Out in the streets preaching.
Well, it almost cost me my life out there preaching many times.
Oh, yeah.
I've had my life threatened. Oh, yeah.
I ask them what the word preach means.
I've lost a lot because of it. But
yeah, yeah. Well, we will. The Lord said we'll lose a lot, yep. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He says, what does he say? Basically, in a nutshell, it'll cost you everything.
Yeah.
Even your life.
Yeah, lose your life to find it. Yeah. Yeah, so I tell them that the word preach means it's not a guy behind a wooden box that's paid a salary. It's a public crier. Yeah. Jesus was a public crier. Paul was a public crier. They went to religious places. They went to marketplaces. We don't go where we're not wanted. Like I hope you don't do this. We would never go to like a guy gay pride parade. They hate.
I ain't never been to one of those.
They hate the truth of God. We're not to throw it to people that totally hate. Like if a massive crowd hates you, you should leave. You're just throwing your pearls, right? But if you go to a place and one guy hates you, but everybody else might be listening, well, then you can stand your ground.
The Bible says that the world will hate you.
Yeah, so. Right. Well, when I mean hate, I mean they're ready to come against you and, you know, tear you to pieces. You go to those gay pride parades, they have to hire police to protect the preachers to not get beat up by the...
Right. If God needs you, go there and go there.
Yeah, I don't think he would. Yeah.
Otherwise, if you ain't got a prayer life,
yeah. Amen.
How are you knowing where God's leading?
Amen. I hear you. And I'm glad to see how you dress too. You're a plain looking man in loose clothing. That's how we're supposed to dress.
Yeah. I started dressing like wearing a suit and tie when I first become saved. I've been poor my whole life, and I found myself, when I was doing that, like, it was taking me longer to get ready for church than actual church was lasted, you know?
That is hilarious. That is so true. We know that.
And you're supposed to come as you are, you know?
Amen.
In the church building, they're not the church. Like, we're the church. The believers, the born-again believers are the church.
Amen.
I can't say Christian anymore because...
I wear a tent. I wear a tent, man. It's so nice to meet you. Yeah, I wear a tent. And actually, you know, there's theology to this. Have you studied this? God.
No, I haven't studied that yet.
My website teaches all this. In Genesis 3, God killed an animal and shed blood.
Right.
The first shed blood. And what did he put us in? A tunic-like garment.
Yep.
And you're wearing a loose tunic-like garment. I like them a little bit longer because it gives me better coverage.
Yep.
But and it never changed. All the men of God wore it. And what it causes people to do is they go, why are you like that? I said, because I'm born of the Most High. I'm not of the culture. And they go, well, I'm born again, as they look worldly and carnal, and they live worldly
and
carnal.
No conviction.
They're dead.
Yep.
Yesterday at the festival, a guy was drinking. And he was half drunk. I know. I used to be a drunk. I know drunks.
Yep, me too.
And he came up to me. He goes, can I hug you? And I said, hug me? Why? And I just said, why? I wasn't mean. He said, because you're preaching and I love it. And I said, but why do you want to hug me? Well, he didn't stop. You know how drunks are. He hugged me and I hugged, you know, gave him a little hug back. And I, you know, you got to be careful in the street. These guys hug you and then they go, he attacked me, you know, or something.
Yep, or slam you.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. And eventually, you know what he ended up saying? He was drinking. And I said, you know, he said, I'm a Christian too. But I drink, and I smoke, and I fight, and I cuss. And I said, you know, you can't keep doing that and claim God.
Nope.
And he said, yes, I can. And I said, no. I said, you
can't,
sir.
He ain't a new creation.
Yeah, you can. I said, you got to repent and leave all that. I said, I used to do that, but I had to leave it. And you know what he said to me? He disagreed with me. He argued a little bit against me. And then he turned around to go. And he said, well, whatever. We disagree. And he turned around. He said, but I'll tell you what. He said, you come back here every effing year and do this. He said, all of us need to hear what you're saying. And he used the literal word effing.
Yep.
My wife had to edit it out of our audio. And
When I do the videos, I keep it real, 100%. There's too much political correctness and fake.
Yeah, sometimes I carve that word out. I like to carve it out. But my point was, the drunk and the worldly wicked man was telling me to come back. The religious people were hating me and telling me to leave.
Yep.
So does it remind you of the publican in the gutter that beats his breast and says, I'm a sinner, but the Pharisees, like, I'm praying, I give.
Most of them church people I've noticed they're the hardest to preach.
Oh, of course they are. I stand outside religious places. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not good.
They call the police on me, and I'm on public property, and the police get the witness and all of that. So, yeah.
God uses me usually to, he puts me in areas that preachers don't want to preach in.
Really?
He takes me and he called me to preach to, like, gangbangers and drug dealers and prostitution and child molesters and all kinds of stuff like
that. Sure,
Some
of them, I deal a lot with the homeless people, and some of them are more, they're more receptive than the guy in the $1 million motorhome.
I've ran into believers that were, like, you wouldn't think they're a believer, you know?
Yeah.
They'd be in the streets.
Right.
There's more believers that are, like, poor and struggling.
Yeah, what they need to be, you're right. They have faith, childlike faith, and they're willing to believe, and they don't really want the things of the world, but where they need some discipling is in, like, their personal habits.
Yep.
And a lot of times in maybe how they're dressed, how they talk, how they act. So they need some personal discipling, but it's got to start in the heart. We don't teach somebody to put a tunic on. You see my wife covers her head. We don't teach a woman to slap a head covering on. She's got to be born again in the heart first. And then the heart, Jesus says, out of the heart, everything comes.
Right.
So if you have a good life and goodness and godliness, that's coming from your heart, unless you're a good fake. Or if you have a lot of wickedness, sin, and rottenness, it ain't coming from your lips. It's coming from your heart.
Yeah, so. I don't trust the heart.
It's deceitfully wicked.
Jeremiah 17:9.
Yeah. Well, good. I got to go. I got to go talk to a brother, make a phone call.
All
you know what? I'm going to be around in this area today, so communicate with me. I don't know I'll buy you lunch or something.
Oh, I'm okay right now.
You sure?
I got food in there.
Oh, okay.
I'm just trying to figure out how to get this van fixed to get down to my job.
Oh, you got a job actually waiting?
Yeah, they call it Mike's Construction, but I don't call it construction. They're basically remodeling trailers.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I think it's more of a remodel thing.
I've preached in Branson.
Yeah.
It's a good place to preach for tourism.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. There's.
I've never been down there.
Yeah, it's got a long strip where you can preach. If I recall, because I have a small amp I use sometimes.
Is it the same as, like, I'm not sure I get it mixed up. I don't know if it's West Branson or Branson West.
West Branson would be, I guess, a town that's just outside of the main Branson. Main Branson is the tourist town.
Okay.
That's where, and you know what's crazy about Branson? Hmm. Is it is a big Christian.
Really?
Oh, it is. Yeah, okay. You know, they're floating because we're Christians. What are you doing here, street preacher? It's known as like the tourist place of the Christians in the Bible Belt. Okay. Yeah. They have a whole bunch of Jesus shows and they have all kinds of religious stuff going on there. And you go there, showing up there, preaching the biblical gospel, and they're like, we don't like you here.
Because it causes them to change. It causes them to question.
It should. And remember, I hope you probably know this, but remember when we street preach, it's either going to be to their glorification with God when they repent and go be with Him, or their condemnation.
Yep.
Just remember that. Yep. And either one, their glorification or condemnation.
And we'll never preach the gospel like it should be preached.
Right. And Jesus said few are going to find it. So that means that we're preaching for a lot more condemnation. That's not our choice. That's the Father's decision to make.
Yep.
And so when we go out, we just look for the sheep, the one. We go out preaching, and yesterday a young couple stood and talked to us for half an hour, and he said, I'm seeing through my church, I'm seeing through stuff. I said, study, my website will help you, I've got thousands of resources.
What kind of Bible you preach out
of? I use the King James Bible, but I'm not a King James only guy.
Right.
I encourage people to use the Greek and the Hebrew.
Yep. And I got a Hebrew, I got the Torah.
Yeah, a Greek and a Hebrew is good because King James has some issues. Like, okay, good one example. I'll just say King James has errors. It does. It uses the word Easter in the book of Acts. And that's...
Do you know what verse or where
it is? I'm not sure in Acts where it is, but it's in Acts. And I don't have that one memorized. It is in Acts, and it should be Passover, Peshach.
Okay.
And they put in the word... Everywhere else they put the word Passover. They plugged in Easter there. And so the King James has some phonic translation issues. Another one I don't like is the word church. That's a terrible word, church. It really should be the ecclesia. The called out ones.
Okay.
Because church is like a building and an organization, and that's what we're not of Christ.
Right.
You know, so. But, so I'm not, you know, there's a group, I don't know, I hope you're not of that. There's a group that believe the King James only Bible was specially inspired by God.
It
has no
errors. I back from the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic language.
Yeah, that's good. Hebrew and Greek is the best place.
The best translation, though, I did find was the King James and the New King James.
Yeah, I like the New King James. Now, can I warn you about where you're going?
Yeah.
Central, we had a homestead. We still have it. We're selling it to be on the road full time. We're cutting loose from everything that we own, and we have our homestead. We're selling, and we're in the middle of Missouri.
Are you living in here?
Yeah, this is our van. Yeah.
Do you got it set up in there, like a stove and all that stuff?
Yeah. Well, we'll use a microwave a lot because we have a little generator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got solar panels or anything on
it? No. The only solar I got is my watch lights at night. I don't because our generator. We can run our generator for about an hour, and it costs about. Well, now, maybe a quarter in gas. It used to be pennies.
Oh, really? What kind of generator is it? Because I got a solar on the back of my van.
Oh, yeah. Here, let me show you real quick.
I want to be able to run a microwave. Mine's a mess in there. Otherwise, I'd show you. Maybe if we meet up some other time, I can show you what I got set up in there.
But yeah.
What is all this contraption up here?
Well, this is so we can stand up and take showers, and I'll stand up here.
You got the roof cut out and everything?
Oh, yeah, the roof's cut out.
That is cool.
This is storage.
Okay.
And then this isn't stand up. This is all just a storage compartment on the top.
Okay.
So we have like a small area where we can stand up, take showers.
How'd you do that?
I bought that white plastic decking material.
Okay.
And then I just mounted it all up there, and I took my jigsaw and cut the hole out.
That's cool.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good.
Side here too with the